That gospel story is just alive with images. It's probably one of the stories that anyone who has been in church for any length of time remembers. It's such a powerful statement in the Gospel of Matthew as to who this Jesus is. This morning I want to take some time to look at the context of this gospel and then to explore with you today in this moment, in this time and place, what this gospel may have to say to us. So the context of when this was written. If Jesus died in the year 33 or thereabouts, there was, after Jesus' death, the burgeoning Christian community, part of the Jewish community too. And in the year 70, there was a revolt that was squashed by Rome and its power. And they destroyed Jerusalem, they destroyed the temple, they destroyed the worship structure of the Jews. This gospel was written for a community just outside, perhaps, of the Jewish homeland, perhaps in the year between 80 and 90. So there was already a new way of living. There was no more temple worship. There was synagogue worship. The Pharisees became much stronger and were guides to what it meant to be a true Jew. And so Matthew, writing to his community grounded in its Jewishness and in its Christness, seeks to validate who they are and what they believe. It was a difficult time and place, for there was a brutal world around them. The Roman regime simply just did what they wanted. It was a place of great fear and a place where this small community was struggling to maintain itself and know its identity. And so Matthew writes this gospel. And he tells this particular story. Now, in the reading this morning that I gave, it was abbreviated slightly at the beginning. Because if you pick the text up from the Gospel of Matthew, it simply starts with the word, "Immediately he sent them to the boats." And if you don't know what happened before that, you don't have a context for this scripture. So before this, Jesus had gone away because his cousin John had been executed. He was in grief and he was troubled and he went to get away, but the crowds followed him. And out of the compassion of his heart, he fed them, some 5,000 plus. And after that feeding, he tells his disciples, "Get in the boats, go on ahead of me, I'll dismiss the crowds." And he does. And then he goes, as the scripture says, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. Mountains were very important in the Jewish understanding because it was where Moses and the leaders met the Holy One, God. And so it was considered a thin place, A thin place is one of those places where heaven and earth seem to touch. And so he went up to pray alone in his grief and in his need for God's presence. Matthew tells us that the boat was battered by the waves and the wind. It was a terrible storm on the sea. Well, it's the Sea of Galilee. It's also known as the Lake of Gennesaret. And though it is not a huge, huge lake, when you're out there in the middle of a storm, it's one heck of a place to be. And these were people who knew the waters, who knew how to control a boat. And they're in this place of simply losing all control and at the hands of the waters. Now, it's good to know in the Jewish tradition that water is there at the beginning of Scripture. It's part of the chaos. And so it's a place of mystery and darkness, and in some cases, even evil. So here is this boat tossed on this water in this image. And in the middle of that, in the darkest time of the night, it says before dawn, in another translation it says the fourth hour, which is between 3 and 6 a.m. in the morning, that very dark and difficult time of day when everything is so vulnerable, appears Jesus. And they cry out, "It's a ghost!" Of course they're so afraid. But immediately he says to them, "Take heart. Don't give up. Don't be afraid. It is I." Or in another way of using those words that a good Jew would know, "I am. I am who I am. Do not be afraid." Peter responds, "Lord, if it is you, call me to come out." And he does call him out. And Peter, experiencing that incredible exhilaration of stepping onto the water and not drowning, looks at Jesus and then looks away and sees the turmoil, the mystery, the evil that surrounds him in the water, and he sinks. Jesus reaches out and grabs him. He was afraid, but he was saved. And they adored Jesus. They worshiped him. They gave praise. "You are the Son of God." And Jesus wonders, "You of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt?" This scripture this morning is all about fear. It's about that kind of fear that lives within each and every one of us. Fear that grips us. What might we be afraid of? You know, I grew up in the 50s and 60s. At that time, I was afraid of the words nuclear Holocaust. I never thought I would hear them again. But it's one of my fears. And it's deep. And it's not a phony fear. It's real. So fear is upon us in this time and in this place. It's present in Charlottesville, Virginia, where fear has been translated into hate. Fear of the other. Fear of change. Fear of what might be. Translated into hatred and anger and violence. There are two images that will stand very strongly with me on Charlottesville. One of them is a bunch of torches around a statue in the night and the violence that was there. The other image is of the interior of St. Paul's Memorial Church, Episcopal Church, at the University of Virginia, where there were gathered hundreds of people to pray, to sing, to be in community together. I think that we can justifiably say that both of those communities were communities of fear. I don't think there wasn't anybody in that church that wasn't afraid of what might be and what was transpiring. And yet you see how different those fears are as they are lived out. I need to accept and grasp and own the fear that's in me. I would suggest that that would be a good thing for you too. There's nothing wrong with it. It's who we are as human beings. But our scripture this morning is a reminder that God is at work in our midst, in the midst of the most gut-wrenching, awful, scary fear. And that God is at work to do something greater and deeper than we can even possibly imagine. It is not easy, make no mistake about it, to live with our fear. But there are ways to act and believe and to move, even with the fear that we have. Today, Christ is present to us in community, gathered together. Yes, we're afraid. But yes, we believe that here, in this place, as we gather, God is close to us. Jesus is present. We will have what we need. May God give us the strength to do that which is ours to do, to live with our fear, and to move with faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.